Welcome to Off Script. I'm Will.
And I'm Ashley. And this is the full disclosure of what it takes to thrive in real estate while balancing life, family, and everything in between. And today we are talking about the 87% that don't make it in the first 3 years of real estate and how not to be that person.
Great intro. Mm-hmm. Before we get there, let's go through an update real quick.
Yep.
We want to start with number one. We put the cart before the horse last week. So I should know this, having been recruiting long enough. Uh-huh. We decided to announce that we hired somebody that didn't actually join our team. So that was our first error.
Where you at, Julie?
Julie, she gone. but we do have some updates and some fun news to share with our team growing.
Yeah. So we have three new people that joined in the last couple of weeks. Ainsley Sound Sleeper. That's a name. So
yes,
she is our new showing assistant that's going to be working with Katie, our lead buyer agent. So she's currently working on getting her license right now. And then we have Anthony Gothrop, who is our inside sales manager, lead manager position that all of the ladies are going to love bringing donuts to every morning because he'll be passing out leads.
What'd you coin him?
The leadies man.
The leadies man. I like it.
And then we have Chapin Sellen.
We got all the good names.
Yeah, and she's the newest agent to our shared services team that just started this week, actually. Yeah. So we're really excited to have her.
Yeah, I'm super excited. Ainsley's going to give Katie the leverage that she needs to handle her pipeline so full right now. So I think that's going to help her with her conversion. Anthony's stepping in to run our lead department, help me continue to build that. I feel like the systems are all there to go and grow and scale that. So now it's just time and effort. And Chapin has a phenomenal database. I think she's going to do a great job. She's a great culture fit.
Yeah, so we're excited for her.
Yeah.
And then we have two open positions right now that we're currently in the process of hiring for. We have a part-time social media content manager role that we are actually, I think it's getting ready to post today. It's Valentine's Day right now while we're filming this. So once this is released, the position should be posted. And then we are recruiting for one additional agent to join the Toast team this year.
Yeah. Cool.
Hopefully by March or April is what we're shooting for.
That's right. So we have a lot going on and we're continuing to grow, which is super exciting. And we would love to talk with you if it's anything that you're looking at, you know, growing your business, whether it's on your own or if you're looking at joining a team. Mm-hmm. Cool.
Okay.
So Valentine's Day.
Yep.
Drake dropped his album.
New album.
So
what's it called?
We're promoting that. Some sexy songs for you. On Valentine's Day, I have a haircut.
That's shout the out. Title of the album?
Yes.
Some
yes.
Sexy songs for you. Okay. Yep.
I just got a haircut for my sister, Hair Haven. Shout out her. I don't go to great clips like Lance. And so now we are ready to start the episode.
All right, let's get into it.
Cool. Cool. Okay, so I think we wanted to discuss a little bit about how you started, right? Like, for new agents coming into the industry, it can kind of be overwhelming because there's so many different things that you're told to do in real estate. Mm-hmm. How did that work for you starting your first, you know, 3, 4, 5 years?
Well, I started part-time and I joined a team when I first started. I didn't really get any training whatsoever. It was like, hey, what do you want to know? And I wanted to know everything. I don't know what I don't know. So I've been licensed since 2015. And then I'll fast forward without getting all the details because we kind of went through that in episode one. But once I joined Keller Williams and I met you for the first time and you kind of did your whole whiteboard thing up there and talked about this is exactly what you need to do to be successful in real estate and how to sell. Like somebody actually put it together for me and just told me what I need to do instead of all of the fluff. And ever since then, I've followed that exact plan and here we are today. So we're gonna share that with you and I'm excited to get into it.
Yeah, it's actually the foundation of like how you have and then how we've built the Toast team. Mm-hmm. And continue to build that. So I always tell people getting in, like if you're in your first year or you're looking for the right path, the first thing you always get approached with is, should I join a team? Mm-hmm. And so I always like to tell people, like, especially here in Omaha, there's three types of teams. One's a personality-based team. So your personality-based teams are agents that have been in the business sometimes 3 years, sometimes 20 years. And they have a lot of knowledge and they can help you with pretty much any situation that you you find yourself in, right? There's so many of these out there, and I would say it's more of a mentorship program. So they might be layered in with some different things like that, but the main value that a personality-based team is able to offer is mentorship.
Yep.
So second type of team I would say is really common are lead-based teams. So an org structure for a lead-based team is going to be one team leader and then like tons of agents underneath it. Mm-hmm. And what they're doing is kind of like running an ROI play of like, hey, I'm going to invest in leads. I'm going to go hire as many agents as possible. Some of them will say they want 10, some will say they want 50, 100, whatever it may be. And they're wanting to turn in, you know, a conversion on the leads that they're purchasing. Mm-hmm. And what happens is oftentimes if they're not layered with more systems or more value on top of that, that's where a lot of our 87% get out of it, right? Because they're not taught the skills or what they may need in order to succeed in the industry.
Sometimes they get burned. I mean, we've had a lot of agents leave teams like that and come here. Not necessarily a toast. I just mean Keller Williams that I've met that have been on teams like that. And either it was burnout or at some point they're not taught to follow up with those clients and really work their database. So they're constantly living in that like 0 to 30, chasing really quick leads and quick wins, but they don't have anything in their pipeline long-term or haven't been taught to do that.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many benefits to both. When you're on a mentorship-based team, you have someone you can call anytime. They're going to answer your questions, tell you exactly, you know, I've been through this situation. This is what I did last time. Mm-hmm. So there's a ton of benefits to being on a team like that. Same with leads. If you have a sales background or you love real estate, your high performers will do well in those settings because they'll learn to be competitive and also to convert because they, I mean, they have to hit their goals as well. Mm-hmm. But the one thing I do know is that if you're a high performer, you're going to outgrow those teams within 2 to 3 years. So there's value to be presented for 2 to 3 years. But when you're on that mentorship-based team, you realize I don't need to pay 10, 20, 30% to this team leader because I now know enough to do this on my own. Mm-hmm. And then your lead-based teams, your high earners on those teams generally say, hey, I could probably buy my own leads. And they split off, and what we see happen is they start the same exact structure, but on a smaller scale. Mm-hmm. I'll buy leads, and I'll have 2 to 5 agents, and then I'll share leads with them while I'm converting my own.
Yep.
So you'll outperform those, and generally, for the most part, you'll leave those types of teams. Third type of team is going to be more of your systems and value. So it's not to say you don't have mentorship and leads on a team that offers systems and value, but it's more leverage and operations based. Mm-hmm. So if you're asking or interviewing teams as a new agent, what you want to ask is, if I have a buyer client or I have a seller client, what happens for me? What is taken off my plate from an operational or leverage standpoint that I don't have to do anymore so that I can then focus on continuing to build my pipeline? Mm-hmm. Make sense?
Yep.
So those are our three types of teams that I would look for. If you find yourself in that systems, value, operations, how we've tried to build our team, what we're doing is leveraging our agents to be able to focus on sales rather than all the other things that come with a real estate business, which I know you know plenty about, right? Running all that by yourself.
Yeah, and now I feel like we're kind of evolving our structure where we are the systems value team, and now we're trying to layer on the lead pieces to it secondarily, but teaching the core of everything else first.
Yep. Yeah. So that's how I would look at if I want to join a team or not. You can do the same. The path doesn't necessarily change to be successful in real estate, whether you're on a team or not. It's just, am I going to have a team of people helping me take stuff off my plate so I can focus on the little things? Or do I want to, you know, go down this path on my own and have mentorship to get down that path and build my own?
Yeah. And I think, you know, there's so many teams out there, and it's hard to know as a new agent how to filter through that, I think. And a lot of times you're overpromised and underdelivered. I've been on a team. I run a team. I've been a solo agent. I've done all of the different various things. And I think the best thing you can do is probably just interview other agents on the team and ask their experience. You know, you'll meet with team leaders and they'll tell you all the things that they do and all of the things that they offer. And then you join, and then sometimes it's not reality. So one thing we do with all of our new recruits, if you will, or new people looking to join, is we have them go meet separate without Will and I there, have them meet with our team, the agents, the operations, so that they can ask questions unfiltered without leadership there present and see how we actually operate behind the scenes. Yep. So that's what I would recommend to you if you're looking to maybe make a move or transition or looking into teams. Just talk to the people that live in that environment every day.
Yep. And then moving forward from the team conversation or individual. Either way, this isn't rocket science. There's a very clear path on how to find success in real estate. And it all comes down to, this is a sales industry. So you have to build lead funnels inside of your business. We focus on three. When I coach our agents, I focus on them building three lead funnels. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty specific on what they should be, you know, focusing on. For us as a team, our lead funnels, do you want to talk about them?
So our three lead funnels as a team are new construction. THI Builders is the builder that we represent. So that's a lead funnel for the team. Our second one would be listing process. So we try and generate at least 1 to 2 deals off of every single listing that goes on the market and look at that as its own lead funnel in itself. And then the third one would be database, which we've talked about that time and time again. That would be the third funnel for me. It's a big one. I mean, we've talked about email marketing. I do that every single week. I send out my Toast post, and today was a perfect example. Actually, I woke up, I sent out my Toast post at 6:53 this morning, and I had an email immediately from one of my clients that I've worked with in the past asking to sell his house. And then I had another one text me right after I sent that out saying, hey, I have some updates of what's going on in my life, and he's looking to buy and sell. So it works doing these things. You just have to follow the process and be consistent with it.
That's right. And so database makes up about 50 to 60% of our business. THI is about 15 to 20, depending on the year. And then all the other forms of lead gen that our agents and we do make up the rest of that.
Yep.
So if you're a new agent on your own, the very first lead funnel, I would say, that you want to focus on, to be a big portion of your business, is database. Mm-hmm. So with database, here's the thing that I know. If you've been in the industry for 2 to 3 years, and you continue to, if you communicate with that database, you'll turn that at about 10%. Mm-hmm. So what that means is if you have 250 people in your database that you communicate with throughout the year, there's about 25 deals to be had in there, as long as you're continuing to follow up and stay in front of them. Mm-hmm. Now, in your first year, you'll turn that at between 3 to 5%. Second year, 5 to 7%. So when I say it's not rocket science, the numbers are all there. They're laid out for you. It's just about doing the work and building a system that you can continue to follow up with, right?
Yep.
So what does that mean, database? So when you come in, building your database looks like, as easy as this can be, putting a spreadsheet together. Obviously, your brokerage or team should offer you a CRM of some kind that you're going to put this into. But putting a spreadsheet together of first name, last name, phone, email, address of all your people. Mm-hmm. Going through social media, going through your family, going through your contacts in your phone. I'm trying to think of anywhere else I can think of here. And just compiling that list of people that you know. And when we talk about database or sphere, what does that mean? Is that only your close people? I would say anybody that you call and said, hey, this is Will, and they know who you are. Mm-hmm. We want to start building relationships with all those people. Even if you haven't talked to them for 2 to 3 years, you're better off going back and rebuilding a relationship than trying to find 50 new ones.
Yeah.
Make sense? So that's what we focus on as our first lead funnel. Once we build that spreadsheet, upload it into your CRM, and build a plan of 40 to 50 touches per year. Mm-hmm. This forever, KW MRA said 33 touch, and then it was 36. And I can consistently tell you, like, 40 to 50 is going to help you hit those conversion numbers that we talked about for first year, second year, third year. Mm-hmm. Am I missing anything there?
Nope. I think we're at 75 or so is what we do for the team. So you just continue to add and layer that on as you improve your systems and operations. But I think 40 to 50 touches is plenty.
Yeah, 40 to 50. And the bulk of that is email marketing, right? Mm-hmm. If you did a bi-weekly email, that's 26. Mm-hmm. You do 2 to 3 events.
Yep.
With those events, there are invites and follow-up. Mm-hmm. You do 4 calls per year, which is the most important, is mm-hmm. 4 calls to every single person in your database per year. And then just
pop by giveaway,
birthday, home anniversary, if they've worked with you in the past. If you put that all together, write it out, put it on a calendar, and just follow the process, over time, you're going to start generating referrals.
Yep.
Which is how all your top agents in every market are referral based. That's how they got there.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Second lead funnel is going to be our listing process, is what I always say. And so what that means is, instead of looking with our agents, right, instead of looking at a listing as a check, like most people do, it is a lead funnel for us. So most agents put a sign in the yard, and what happens when we put a sign in the yard of a listing is a whole bunch of buyers come to us, mm-hmm. and then listing agents try to sell it to one of them, right? Is that not true?
Yeah, I actually have a funny story about this. So I don't know what I was thinking, but when I was new in real estate, again, nobody was coaching me, mentoring me. I got a signed call and, you know, it didn't end up being the right house. I told them all about it. And I was like, okay, thank you. And hung up and never spoke to that person again. I was like, why did I do that? Mm-hmm. And now every single signed call, most of those people don't end up buying the listing anyways, but that's another buyer that you can now work and find them another house for and convert that lead. So simple, but yes. I was giving up so much business by just, oh, this isn't the right house for you. Hang up and never speak to that person again.
That's right.
And now we usually generate at least 1 to 2 pieces of business off of every single listing, whether that's 2 buyers or a buyer in another listing.
Yeah, I was talking to another leader in the industry, and knowing what you've experienced over the past like 5 to 6 months, mm-hmm. sign calls have gotten so much better since everything happened.
It's because our face is on the signs.
That, I think, yes. And I think ever since, you know, the industry was shaken up last summer, it's not a secret anymore that people are calling the listing agents, right?
No, like, I see so many more. So, I mean, probably 5 on every listing now.
Yeah.
And our last couple that we've closed, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I hand all of those off to Katie, our buyer agent, because I don't work buyers. I think a lot of you guys know this if you've been listening. But our last 3 houses that we listed, we ended up getting sign calls that did end up buying that house, which has been rare in the past, but now we are starting to see that more and more often. So anywhere from 5 to 6 sign calls per listing, and I feel like that's a lot compared to what I used to see. I used to maybe get like 1 or 2.
Yeah, so like handling those sign calls is so important. We practice mm-hmm. that in script and role play. But when you have a buyer calling you on about a listing, a lot of people still do that. Funny, we always joke on our team because Carmen did this at the beginning. They wanted to know the price, and then she hung the phone up.
Yep.
And we're like, wait, what, did you ask any more questions? She's like, no, it didn't work for them. And so it doesn't have to be that house, but these are sometimes qualified, but these are interested buyers that are looking for a home in the area calling you. Mm-hmm. What a great time to connect with them.
It's a warm lead. And you know, it's not just sign calls, but we also run ads on all of our listings, and then our ISA department works those. So that's another way to generate additional business off of your leads.
Yeah. So listing process, setting that up to where, depending on your work ethics, for me, I used to be a door knocker, and this is how we've modeled what we do. But I used to knock, 500 houses on every listing for coming soon, 500 open house, and then 500 when we sold the property. So I was hitting the same 500 homes 3 separate times in, a 60-day period. And so they saw me take that listing, they saw me invite them to an open house face-to-face, which most people don't do anymore, and then tell them that we sold it. So it was full cycle. They saw us working in the area. You could do the same thing with circle dialing. You could do the same thing with your database, right? Every listing you have, I'm going to call 50, 25, 100 people in my database, tell them it's coming soon, invite them to the open house, hold the open house, and then tell them that we sold it. And you're showing people from start to finish that you have a process and you sell houses, which is what we do for a living.
Yeah, I talked to an agent at Berkshire, and she drops off a CMA to 50 doors on every listing that she does, or a hyper-localized market update for that neighborhood. Again, I don't think it matters what you do. Sure. It's that you're doing the same thing on every single listing consistently, and she's generating additional listings off of that. So she has a process and she follows it. Same thing.
Yep. And then being able to someday, when you get to that point in your business, track your numbers. I get this many leads off of every listing and I convert this many within 6 months. Now, all of a sudden, you have a lead funnel that you can predict moving forward what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. So no longer is a listing a check for you. It is a lead funnel to not only sell that, but to go capture 2, 3, 4 more buyers and or sellers in the area.
Yep. And then the third one for us is THI. I'm not going to get into too much detail on that because, I mean, it's more rare for everybody to be repping a builder. So probably get more into the other lead funnels like open houses, expires. I think open houses is a really good one. And, you showed me and Katie a nice little chart when we were in coaching about like why that we call it the low hanging fruit. But those open house could be a really great lead funnel for people.
Yeah, for sure. So third lead funnel, I would tell every new agent or agent that's looking to build their business, I always call it plus ones because there's so many different forms of lead gen. You have FSBOs, expireds, open houses, social media, circle dialing,
networking groups.
Go to freaking Starbucks. I always say, like, wherever people are breathing, like, if you can talk to them, that's your chance to practice skills and to meet new people. It's so important. Networking groups, you said that would work really well. But if you can do it consistently every single day, 2 to 5 people, that's going to be where you build your database. So If you look at this as like a funnel, right? Everybody looks at database as their whole business, but truly all it is a long-term follow-up plan. Open houses, sign calls, circle dials, listing process, all the things we talked about, all you do with those people is put them into your database, into that 40 to 50 touch plan, mm-hmm. and that's going to then fill your pipeline. So if you ever were to see a funnel, like the database is going to be the middle to the bottom of that funnel. The bottom of it's going to be your pipeline. So on our team, when we go through pipeline, we have three categories that are pretty distinct, 0 to 30, 30 to 90, and then 90 plus. 0 to 30 are your people that are actively looking at houses right now, ready, pre-approved, ready to buy, and sellers that are going on the market probably within the next 1 to 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Your 30 to 90s are your people getting ready, getting pre-approved, maybe getting, you know, this getting the house ready mm-hmm. to put on the market. And then your 90 pluses are going to be, I'm buying in fall, or I'm buying later this year. And so most people in our industry live in the 0 to 30. Who's buying and selling right the second? And those are the agents that drink way too much coffee. They have no idea where any of their leads are. They are not sleeping, not seeing their family. They're sporadic, all over the place, right? Mm-hmm. If you live in your 0 to 30, which is what most of our agents in our industry do, you'll mm-hmm. exit the industry because you won't like it anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I can attest to that. I'm still here. I didn't exit the industry, obviously, but I remember living in the 0 to 30 because I didn't know what I was doing. So it was like, I didn't know how to stay in front of people long term. So whenever I got a lead, it was like, you latch onto that, like your life depends onto it, and you show them as many houses and you think of nothing else but this one person in front of you.
Yep.
And it feels awful. Well, yeah. It's not fun to live like that. And it wasn't until about maybe a year ago, I finally transitioned into feeling like I don't have to worry every single day about where is my next piece of business coming from or the next client, because I've been doing the things for the last few years of working those long-term follow-up plans, as you right. call it. And then the business just starts to come to you. It's just you have to stay in it again and be consistent with it and patient enough and not expect the quick win your first year in real estate. They're going to go sell 100 houses.
Yeah. I mean, listen, if you're living in the 0 to 30, those are like, I got four people are about to buy. You feel really good, but you haven't like got them to move yet. And what happens is one of them can't get pre-approved. One has a cousin that's a realtor, and one of them waits till next year. Now, all of a sudden, we're down to one lead, and we're hoping that they close so we can pay our bills. It's like, this is like a constant loop or cycle people yeah. are in. So we focus on building out the second and third. So 30 to 90, 90 plus. Ask people when they're moving. They'll tell you, I'm moving in a year. I'm moving in December, whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. And then follow up with them. So if you fill the 90 plus side of your pipeline, which is the long term, and then practice skill sets and script and role play on how to move people through a pipeline, you'll do immensely better than anybody else. Mm-hmm. Your 0 to 30s, you follow up with weekly. Your 30 to 90s, you follow up with bi-weekly. And then 90 plus, at least once a month at a very, very minimum. Mm-hmm. And if you time block that, put that in your calendar, and follow that entire process, you will absolutely find success in this industry.
Yep. I used to get confused, too, between like pipeline and database, because when you use these terms interchangeably a little bit, you're touching your pipeline of actual people that you've connected with that say when they're going to move much more frequently. Your database is still that 4 times a year and then following your touch point plan. But your pipeline people, you're going to be communicating with so much more often. Oh, yes. And then you're infusing them into that, you know, the events and giveaways as things are coming up, they're getting invited to, but they're almost separate in a way. You have yes. your database, and then you have your true pipeline of people. And I work those and time block those a little differently.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the phase of it, 0 to 30 is most important, 30 to 90, 90 plus, and then everything one year to 50 years is database. That's all it really is, right?
Yep.
And so we talked about this on our team at one of our previous meetings, but like, I don't know the exact number on this, but the average person buys and sells or moves about, I mean, in the West, like on the West Coast where I was 11 to 12 years here, sometimes it's 7 to 8. So let's say every 8 to 9 years, mm-hmm. you're making a move, right? Mm-hmm. What we as agents do is we don't care. We sell them a house and we stop caring about following up with them, right? We don't do email marketing. We don't do the events. We don't do the 4 calls per year. And what happens is 6 years pass, they haven't heard from you in a year or two, 7 years pass, they're getting ready to move. And then there's a short like 6 month window where they're excited and they're ready to make a move, or they're starting to look on Zillow. And what happens is these large companies capture them and then resell you your own leads. Mm-hmm. Instead of you just doing the long-term follow-up of staying in front of them that entire time. And so we talk about on our team often, like, be in the game. as much as possible. This is completely a numbers game. It's all probability. If you can be in that 6-month window for more people, more time, be it open houses, take sign calls, do whatever it is that you can do to be in front of your pipeline, you're automatically going to put yourself, you know, in better spots to succeed and hit your goals. Yeah. You have to be in that 6-month window as much as possible for as many people as possible, mm-hmm. while balancing, like, staying in front of all of your 2, 3, 4, or 5-year-out people.
Yep.
I think that covers everything.
It does.
Yeah. So we've laid out the blueprint of it all, right? Now it's just executing and actually focusing on what matters, which is database, building out, building a strong funnel, and making sure that you execute on the plan.
What do you think most people struggle with? Of like, why do so many people not execute this? Like, it's not hard to do. It's a very clear path. Like, what do you hear in coaching and when talking to agents? Why do you think that they don't do it? Is it just not knowing how to organize it, or what do you see?
Just getting into the industry for the wrong reasons. Mm-hmm. We get in because we think we can make a lot of money really fast, and like the world that we live in and the industry we live in is, how can I get a quick win? Mm-hmm. Who can sell me something that can make me earn money faster, right?
Yeah.
Instead of just sticking to the basics and the foundation. So the purpose of our podcast, right? We talk about the same things over and over and over and over again, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's the fundamentals that will always build success long term.
That's right.
It's a good way to end this.
That is a good way to end this.
Okay. All right. Well, I hope this helps. Again, if you have any questions or looking for a team or just advice on what different brokerages or teams offer, I've always helped people make those decisions. And I think you do the same thing from what you know.
Yeah, I mean, even if we obviously would love to meet with you if you're interested, but even if we're not the right team for you, we'll guide you on what questions to ask to help you find the right team.
Yeah. And with that, we'll see you next week.
Yep.